Welcome to No Sugar,
Just Spice.
I'm Sheer.
And I'm Sen.
1, 2, 3, hi. Okay, I think that was good.
As we navigate the early stages of our careers, we wanted to bring you a weekly dose of our unapologetic dialogue.
I was like, ha 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 ha. Oh yeah.
No. Join us every week as we dive into topics on all of our minds and cover all the latest trends, obsessions, and struggles we encounter on the daily.
We're getting personal and professional, and we're here to talk about it all. No sugarcoating, no BS, just a little bit of Middle Eastern spice.
Get ready for an authentic exploration of all the highs and lows, because life's too short for sugar-coated stories. This is No Sugar, Just Spice, where honesty meets the mic.
Action. Our brains are synced.
Finally.
Just like our craving for mango sticky rice.
Just for everyone to have some context, last night Sanaya FaceTimes me when she gets her mango sticky rice order from like Uber Eats. And I literally told my husband the day before that I was craving mango sticky rice.
That is so weird because I was thinking about it for days and then I finally caved and found the place and ordered. Everything I ordered from this place was fire, by the way. I just love Thai food when
it's good.
What's it called?
The place.
I don't know. Chai Ting or Chai Ying or something. So good.
Okay. You got to add that to Globe Thrivers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to do it. I actually have finally found all of my top places, like top pizza, top sushi.
Ooh.
Because it's important.
It's trial and error.
Yeah. And I like to stick to my same spots, especially for ordering.
Yeah, you do. I like to try every new place.
Ugh, I hate being disappointed.
I went to one Thai place in Miami. I think it was like near Wynwood, but it wasn't so good.
Yeah, it's disappointing when that happens.
We have such high expectations because we've been living in Tel Aviv and the number of Thai like immigrants in Israel is pretty high and they have bomb food. And like they opened some really good restaurants in Tel Aviv. So we were spoiled.
Yeah, that's very true.
Shout out Thai House.
I'm hungry.
Well, hello everyone.
Hello everyone.
Welcome to this week's segment, which is the Thriving in Your 20s segment.
Ooh, ooh.
So today we are going to be talking all about first job experiences and like the beginning of your career. And the reason why we're picking it is because I've gotten reached out to a lot by college students, college grads, people that are trying to make career transitions. Over the past like month, I would say I probably got like 6-7 different people who have reached out to me asking for advice.
Oh, really? Like how? What age? What demo?
Today I had a call with someone who just reached out to me on LinkedIn. She told me she's been following me on Instagram for like a year and reached out to me on LinkedIn saying that she wants to do a career pivot. She works in advertising and she wants to try working in tech.
Oh, I love this topic because I feel like once you leave college, you think like, okay, I need to find my path and my job. And you feel more lost than ever, even though like you might have studied one specific thing for the past 4 years. And then you're like, okay, now what? This route isn't working and you feel just out of touch. And
how can they expect an 18-year-old to pick a degree that will dictate what they do for the rest of their lives?
At 18, you're so young.
It doesn't make any sense.
I have an 18-year-old sister-in-law and she is so stressed about finding her career path. Like she talks about it constantly and it really stresses her out. And
send her this episode.
Yeah. Siggy said that this would be perfect for like her and her friends because they need help at this age.
I told my team about the podcast yesterday and my intern messaged me and she was like, this is perfect for my pre-quarter life crisis.
Oh my God. Just wait, girl. Just wait. You're just getting started. My pre-quarter life crisis. That's just great.
You know, guys, that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage all of you, and it's okay.
But yeah, I really like that.
So I'll kind of like give a high level concept. So at first, I mean, like I'm no guru. I'm still learning myself and making a lot of mistakes, but you know, we're in the thick of it and we have it fresh in our memory what our first job was in the beginning of our career. And I think that because the career landscape is super dynamic right now and people are way more open to working remotely, working hybrid, doing multiple things on the side, not just having one job, doing so many things. Like it's like acceptable now. Like 10 years ago, that was not the norm, you know?
Yeah, times have changed.
Times have changed. And, you know, someone reached out to me and she was like, you know, I'm studying healthcare, but I'm not really sure like what exactly is it I want to do. Like she's not like not medicine, like healthcare in general, like healthcare management or something like that. She like has an internship that she really likes, but has nothing to do with what she's studying. And she's like, I'm graduating in like a month. I don't know if I like should continue with, you know, my internship route or go do what I studied, but like I'm more passionate about this internship.
Okay. And who cares what you studied?
I told her, I'm like, literally I said, who cares what you studied? You have to follow your heart. Follow your gut. Like, what are you excited about? What wakes you up in the morning and you're saying like, wow, I can't wait to work on that?
Exactly. And I feel like I was lucky because I never really had that kind of pressure of like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Because my dad always told me, you're not going to college to learn. You're going to college to learn how to learn, which is the most true thing ever.
That's a good quote. Yeah. Elon.
I know.
Inspirational quotes from Elon.
He's got lots of them.
This is a shout out, guys. We're going to have him on the podcast as a guest.
Oh, yeah. He'll be a great guest. But yeah, so I just kind of went with what I liked at the time. I knew I didn't like math. I knew I didn't like science. I knew I liked reading.
Same.
And writing. Sorry, we're friends. So, well, actually, no. You went the business route. What am I saying? I went the journalism
route. No, but there's still nothing to do with math and science. I mean, math a little bit, but... Science?
Yeah, I guess not really. You were more marketing than like business.
Yeah,
finance.
It was more entrepreneurship.
So yeah, that's just a little side note just for anybody who's nervous about starting college. You do not need to feel pressured at all. Like you're so young at 18.
I know, it's so true.
It's actually insane to think about.
It really is. But even like in college, like you were studying like journalism. You interned at a lot of different journalism internships, and you're not doing that today. You know, you don't work at a newspaper or media site.
Yeah, I liked it for a long time, and then times changed, and I changed, and my interests changed, and I pivoted. So yeah, which is just part of life, I guess.
So let's segue into your first job, Zanaya. So how did you go from majoring in journalism and interning at a lot of different, you know, companies in that space to your first job? And then what did you learn in that experience?
My first job or first internship?
You can briefly talk about like the internships you did, but like I want to focus on like the first job that you had after as well.
After college. Mm-hmm. So throughout college, I guess part of the reason I loved the journalism path is because it was less about school and more project-based, more working-focused, which I always enjoyed more. Like I don't like just memorizing stuff and taking a test and forgetting everything after. So that I really appreciated and like still am grateful that I had that experience because I feel like I learned more skills than I did random stuff. I think we spoke about this in another episode, but I worked for like a Jewish newspaper. I worked for a magazine in Washington, D.C. because I went to Maryland. So that was like close by. And then I worked in Miami at another magazine because, again, I think I spoke about this, but I wanted to be like Lauren Conrad from The Hills and work for a magazine. Because, yeah, I just loved, it connects to kind of now how I'm such a content consumer. And like, I love like, even like, that's why I love watching shows and watching movies, reading books. Like, I love honing in on somebody's story and you learn so much that way. I really have no regrets. So what? Now I work in e-com. After I graduated college, I worked in a customer service job because I was living in another country and didn't speak the language fluently. So I was in Israel, moved because my boyfriend at the time, now husband, was doing med school and I needed to make money. So I kind of just took whatever I could find and somehow ended up in financial tech.
Literally, you went from like... journalism and media to fintech.
Because it was like, all right, I was there for a month already. The original journalism job that I thought I would be getting paid for was more of an internship. And I was like, okay, this is not sustainable. So it was more out of desperation that I pivoted and just took whatever opportunity was available.
Also, it was a really good environment and like the people were.
Yeah. Yeah. The social part of it was was definitely a plus because I didn't really have like other than you and our other friend, like I didn't really have anybody that I didn't have a community or anything there. So yeah, so that was like my first real job. I was literally just a customer service rep. And like, if you told me that when I was in college, I would be like, how embarrassing, which is so stupid to think because any opportunity is an opportunity to learn, yeah, right?
100%. And
I think that's why I always, I didn't have like this kind of ego or like anything when it came to that, because that's how like my parents raised me, is just like, especially my dad, was just any working experience is an opportunity to learn something. Just make sure that like you are doing the best at like what you're doing, because otherwise like what's the point?
And I think you excelled pretty well. I mean, you moved up, you became a manager there. Like you were good at it. You really excelled in that, like in what you learned.
Yeah, because I just had that mentality. I was like, okay, I'm here for the time being, so I'm just going to make the most out of it. I didn't know anything about trading or crypto or anything, but it was during, I think it was like 2016 when crypto was exploding.
Yeah. End of 2017, beginning of 2018. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So the timing was just crazy. Like I happened to be working for a social trading platform that.
Yeah. During a crazy time.
During crypto boom. So I had to learn the company like exploded and I had to learn very quickly. And I was there in the beginning. And then all of a sudden.
She really was.
All these people.
Joined. All of a sudden, everyone we knew worked there. My husband ended up working there also. Yeah. In the sales department, but still.
Yeah, that was like years later. Even now, like I would say, it's like the same kind of thing that my dad was saying in college. Like it's, do I remember now everything there is to know about trading? No. Like was that what I took away from the experience? No. But did I take a lot of like management experience and knowing how to work with people and how to work with people like maybe who are under you that are older than you and navigating that. Yeah. Organizing yourself.
So your biggest takeaway from that first job from your perspective was management and working in like a business. And
yeah, because that was my first kind of like leadership role, I guess, in a working environment. I mean, and this happened at the end of year two. So I was just a rep in the beginning. And then I became a manager for like a team leader for the customer service department. And that was challenging, but because again, I'm working with people, like I was so young at the time, I was like 22. And I have people working under me that are 40, working for men. And that was also, I have a lot of interesting stories about that.
Same.
I was like leading, you know, a lot of guys that were older than me and it was hard
for
them.
Well, you weren't a manager at 22, but like at 24, you were 25.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I was like 24.
So you were like 24, 25, but still, I mean, managing someone in their 40s when you're 24 years old, like it's...
Yeah.
I mean, people have egos, especially men, and it's hard. Egos are, it's one of the hardest things to manage and navigate.
Yeah, I think. Sometimes I wanted to cry and sometimes I did cry, not in front of people, but it really taught me to like get it together. And this is how it is in the real world. Because when you're young, you just like look at the world like through rose-colored lenses and you think mm-hmm. like, you know, you don't realize. And
life is all dandy.
People say something to you and you're like, what? And you're so caught off guard.
But it's also okay to cry. Like yeah. I was told, I mean, I also cried my fair share. And I was told, don't cry, don't cry. Like, it's okay to express your emotions. We're human beings. We're not robots, like working in a business. And like, this is how things have to go. You know, no one has feelings, just business decisions. That's not how people are, human beings. If you can't understand, like, and be empathetic towards the people that you're working with, then the business is not going to succeed.
Yeah, but I still feel like people have such a, first of all, it makes people very uncomfortable. And all of a sudden you seem like, you're not capable, you're nervous. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're not there yet where it's like, you can cry and it's fine.
I mean, obviously like not encouraged to cry every single day. But like once in a while, like obviously it's okay, you know? But I think like this is a conversation a lot of women have. I've had this conversation with a lot of my female friends. And sometimes my husband like would help me practice talk about a topic before I went to the office. And practice like not getting emotional about it.
I've done that before too.
It's crazy. And like, he's like shocked. He's like, like, why are you crying? Like, I'm like, I don't know. I literally don't know. Like, yeah. Sometimes there are certain topics. Like, I remember, oh my God, we can have a whole negotiation topic. Maybe that'll be our next topic for this segment. But I would have a really hard time negotiating my worth, negotiating my salary in the beginning of my career. Now I am very adamant about it. But like, it took me years of practice. I like would get emotional asking for a freaking raise when I was 23.
Yeah, because it's scary.
It was so hard for me. But you know what? I also think that it had to do a lot with the managers and like how they responded and treated and managed.
Yeah.
Also, their job is to make you feel comfortable. And
also in Israel, I feel like, or in Tel Aviv, it's a lot more informal than it is in America. Maybe that is also a huge part of it.
And more direct, more informal, high expectations. It's definitely more rigorous of an environment.
Yeah, but the topic of a raise is a lot more sensitive there. Like here, it's kind of like a given. Okay, you've been here for a year. Like you kind of follow.
You're due for a raise. Yeah.
There, it's like you could be due for a raise for years and still feel like an idiot.
And if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. Literally. Like they're just waiting around for you to ask for it there. If you don't ask for it, they're like, we're not going to give it to her.
They'll never offer it, no matter how much you deserve it.
It's like, it's crazy. My God.
Yeah, it definitely toughened us up though, for sure.
It did.
Working there and with Israelis. It's very, I would say like the difference is it's more relaxed and yeah, maybe you feel more comfortable talking to your bosses and like, you know, the CEO of the of this huge company is just like walking around like, hey, what's up? Like It's very relaxed, but at the same time, you need to have a tough skin and you need to say it how it is because nobody's reading your mind over there and nobody is filling in the blanks for you.
But you know what? It taught me to be a lot more of a clear and communicative.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Leader and person in general. Like I'm very clear now. Like I list out expectations and goals and like, that's what I learned. The only way to make sure things get done the right way is when things are clearly communicated and everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, very true. And it's kind of the culture there is the opposite of being passive aggressive, which is a very American thing, which is the worst.
Which is a cultural barrier that happens sometimes, especially in business between the two countries.
True. Yeah.
But a lot of the Middle East. I mean, it's not just Israel. Like, I've done business with a lot of countries in the Middle East. It's very common to be direct in those countries and in that region in general.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. Is this very specific to America?
Yeah, it is. It is. But regarding your first job, like any other like key takeaways that you want to share that you learned or that still stick with you today?
I don't want to make it specific to this job because I think this is the important thing to take away from this conversation for people stressed about applying to their first job or their first internship. Just go into it with an open mind because if you're not happy, you can always move on. But while you're there, have a positive attitude and be open because no matter what, you are going to learn. You're going to learn something if your attitude is open.
And you never know what opportunities will come from that job or the people you meet there.
Exactly. Very true. Yeah. So for me at the time, I wasn't thinking I'm going to stay in customer service forever. I had no idea what I was going to do. But now looking back at it, like customer service is a huge part of what I do now, which is
just, it's so true.
Yeah. I mean, when we started the Elon retail website, it was just me and my one sister, Sarah, at the time. Like now it's all three of us. We started everything from scratch and I was one and only customer service person.
You were everything. Director of e-com, well, you were managing the product catalog, she was customer service, she was helping with like content. I mean, yeah. Snaya was wearing all the hats.
I would have like my friends sometimes, like I remember Carly, she like ordered something in classic Carly, she doesn't want to bother you with stuff. So she's like calling customer service and I answer the phone.
And your customer service.
It's like, send? I'm like, Carly, why are you calling work? Like, what is your problem?
God. But you went straight to Elon from eToro. So like, you learned a lot and you took it with you.
Yeah. I learned the importance of having a platform that, because, you know, even the wholesale department of our company, like, they're still very much outdated and they're doing everything manually. It's like, hello, you have multiple platforms, you have macros, you have automations, especially with AI now, like I have all these automations set up and I wouldn't have known how to do that. And now I'm obviously not doing customer service, but it helps to have management experience and like know how to do quality.
And how to deal with customers in general.
Yeah.
And you're a D2C brand, important.
I would never appreciate and value customer service and realize how important it is without working at the bottom.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
So yeah, I mean, I can go on and on, and that's just how it should be. Like, I could have been like, oh, like I'm stuck in this other country because my boyfriend's here and I have to go do this stupid job where I'm like chatting with people. Literally, I would be chatting with like random people all over
from
the
like
world.
Random countries and
doing night shifts, like working 12 to 8 a.m.
I cannot believe you could do those night shifts. I will never forget those night shifts.
It's honestly so fun though. Like it was a really fun work culture. I don't know about now. It's probably different, but.
Wow. All right. Well, you learned a lot. And I think that it definitely like it stuck with you, all those lessons, and it gave you the foundations.
Moral of the story, there's no job too big or too small. You can always learn.
My first job experience, I mean, I did a lot of internships. I just like had no idea what I wanted to do, guys. Zero.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is going to be, you've done a lot.
I'm not going to get through everything today, but
yeah, it's a lot.
Well, fast forward all the internships. I did an internship in fashion. I did an internship in travel tech in Paris. I did an internship in advertising in New York. Fashion was also in New York. I did like a bunch of brand ambassador stuff. I honestly tried a lot. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no idea. Every internship taught me it taught me what I didn't want to do.
When you went into college, did you have an idea?
No. Zero clue.
So how did you decide on your major?
Both my parents didn't go to college. I'm like first generation American and first generation college student.
Same.
See, look at us. We're getting past the barriers. So I really didn't know. Like my parents were just proud of me for going to college.
Yeah. So, yeah, same.
You know, I'm like, oh, good.
My daughter made it. College. Yeah, we made it.
My daughter goes to the University of Florida. You know, like that's
a huge accomplishment, by the way.
That's an accomplishment for them, you know? And like, that was what I wanted to do. And so when I was like looking for majors, I had no idea. I didn't have a major for like 2 years. I mean, you know, the first 2 years anyways, you're doing all the prereqs, whatever, yeah, like true. All the foundation classes. And so that's why I did a lot of different internships because I knew that real world experience was going to teach me what I wanted to do. And I still had no idea what I wanted to do at the end of my second year. And they were like, Sheer, my advisor was like, you need to pick a major. I was like, you know what? What's the most general thing ever that'll apply to everything? Business. Which is, I feel like, yeah, what everyone does. And she was like, okay, what kind of business? There's business finance, there's business management, there's entrepreneurship, there's marketing, there's a lot of different things. I was like, whatever involves the least amount of math. I had to take finance, I had to take accounting. I was miserable. I literally hated those classes.
I don't know how you even did that.
So yeah, I did marketing, business marketing. And then I ended up doing a master's in international business because I love languages. I loved all those international relations classes and learning languages. And you know, I grew up with three languages. So like, for me, that and culture was like, that's why I love travel. And then I did an MBA exchange program at Tel Aviv University. So like, basically at UF, I could have graduated earlier with my undergrad, but instead of graduating, I took a master's and I basically took my master's classes in my undergrad. So by the time I graduated with my bachelor's, I only had four classes left to get my master's. So they were like, okay, it's either you stay in Gainesville for one more semester or you figure something out. And I'm like, there is no way in hell I am staying in Gainesville for an extra semester. None.
I could see that.
And they were like, okay, well, you need to figure it out. And I started doing tons of research. And like, I was like, you know what? Like our friend Ariel was like, you need to come to Israel. Like I literally hadn't gone to Israel in like 4 years at the time. She was like, you keep going to Europe. Like you need to come to Israel and like try it out here. And like our other friend Eden was telling me the same thing. And I was like, you know what? Let me go see if there's a program there. And because of the war, there was a war that happened at the time. UF like paused all the programs, all the like exchange things. But because I'm Israeli, whatever, like I was able to like bypass that and like sign a waiver or something and make the credit swap work. Like you had to like go out of your way. It was really hard, but I figured it out. I had to reach out to Tel Aviv University on my own and make the program on my own.
Wow.
They accepted me and I went to Israel to do this MBA exchange program. And honestly, it was amazing. There were people from all over the world in my class. And the professors were from also like all over the world. And it was really interesting. And I took those classes. I did another internship, which I also nothing to do with what I do today. It was like event management for like a space conference. But learned again. And then my husband and I had started dating like right around that time that like the internship ended. And I was supposed to move to New York to go intern at like consulting firms. That was kind of like what I said. I was like, you know what? I still don't know what I want to do. Like, can you imagine? I graduated with my bachelor's. I graduated with my master's and I still had no idea what I wanted to do after 5 internships.
Which is totally fine, by the way, and normal.
Yeah. So like if you guys are thinking like you're lost and you've tried everything, trust me, there's a lot more out there.
Yeah. And it's not worth it to just stick with something because you feel like you need to pick something.
No, it's not. But that's why I was like, okay, I'll just go work in consulting. It's general. I'll have a lot of different clients from a lot of different spaces and then I'll figure it out. But because my husband and I started dating, I was like, well, he lives in Israel. I was like, okay, no, I'll stay in Tel Aviv and make it work. And so I called my dad. I'm like, so I just started dating this guy and I think I'm going to stay in Tel Aviv. And he was like,
Taylor's oldest time.
Yeah, literally. Like, who go figure. And he was like, well, if you're going to stay in Tel Aviv, you have to get a job. And I was like, yeah, it's time. It's time to get a full-time job. And I just started applying. And like Sanaya said, for her, I mean, in Tel Aviv, you know, because you're an expat and your native language is not Hebrew, like there are specific industries where native English speakers are really valued. And that is high tech or mm-hmm. working in tech in Tel Aviv. And I just started applying to every entry-level job available.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
I got this job at an AI company. AI, guys.
Back in the day.
7 years ago, okay? And they wanted a native English speaker to do marketing, business development, just like help sell the technology to the US market. It was the biggest learning experience I could have ever asked for. I learned more in that year and a half than I did in 4 years in college. But it was hard. I went through a lot of ups and downs.
Because it was a startup kind of, right?
Yeah, like, so I had joined the company when we were 10 people in a room, and then the company raised hundreds of millions of dollars and went from 10 to 400 people in the span of like a few years. It was insane. It was the most hyper growth I have ever seen in my life. And it gave me a lot of experience because I learned how startups work, how they function, how they go from zero to 100. How do you do business development? How do you do growth? And I was on the growth side. So for me to like to be part of that growth is huge. And it was like it looks great also for my career that I was part of that journey. I signed up for this marketing manager and like biz dev type role. And it was like really the first one. I think there was like another biz dev person that started with me also. And I was kind of doing everything. I was doing marketing, emails. I was leading the CRM database. I was like doing the campaigns, leading like paid ads, and I was helping with like business development pipeline. And then they wanted me to start going to conferences in the US. And they started like sending me to conferences. Like, guys, when I tell you, like, I didn't fly once or twice a year. I flew every month to the US from Tel Aviv.
That's insane.
And I enjoyed it. Like, I'm like a people person. I like to do sales. I like to talk. I like to demo. I like to do all of that. But it came to a point where like I realized I was being really undervalued and I wasn't getting compensated properly. And I just like, I knew I wasn't getting my worth. And that conversation we had in the beginning of this podcast of crying when you're asking for that raise, I mean, that was me. It was because when I asked for it the first time, I was looked at as if I was crazy.
Wow.
And that's not what you want to hear. I'm flying to the US every month for you. I'm building millions of dollars in pipeline. I'm doing all of this. And like,
It makes you want to run the other way. And it's so important that when you have somebody working for you, that's a good worker, it's not easy to come by. And like, it's not nice to make somebody feel replaceable because guess what? You'll find out very soon that you will try to have to replace me and it'll be very difficult.
Exactly.
So good luck to you.
Exactly. But it's exactly that. But you don't know that at the time, especially when you're so early on in your career. Like, we don't know how to explain our worth and we don't know what they're missing out on, you know? And they made me doubt myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, wait, am I not worth this much? Like, maybe I'm delusional?
They know that they can do that because you're young and they know that they have the upper hand.
And like they were also young, the managers, and they were also learning how to be managers and run a company. And I'm not saying it's easy to do that. And like, I'm still grateful for that experience no matter what. Like without that company and without that experience, I would not be where I am today for sure. And so like, I appreciate the experience. It's just, I was a bit traumatized for a couple of years. Like after that, it really taught me a lot. It
destroys your confidence.
It was very hard. It was very hard. Like I had to learn how to talk about my worth and not be intimidated to say like, this is what I'm worth. And I had to talk to other people. I had to understand like, what is someone that does all this get paid? Is this normal?
Yeah.
Is this compensation structure normal? Like I had to get validation because I wasn't receiving that directly.
Yeah. No, it's a very challenging situation.
Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard for me. And by the end of it, I had a really bitter taste in my mouth. And
yeah, because you're burnt out, you're overworked at that point. And the least you could expect or want is just some gratitude or anything or acknowledgement. And when you don't get that and then you get gaslit, like, how dare you think you deserve more?
Yeah, I was gaslit.
You're like, whoa. It just kind of hits you in the face. Like, okay, I guess I don't deserve more, but like I'm dying over here and putting my whole heart and soul into it. And for what?
Yeah. It's literally that. I'm putting my heart and soul into this business because I believe in it and I want to help it succeed.
And nobody cares, apparently.
But where's the reciprocation?
Yeah. And if that happens, it's time to go. Yeah. And because we are optimists, both of us. So like, I'm sure a part of you deep down was like, okay, like it'll change. Like I'll just keep going.
Yeah. And also I had a lot of friends who were working there. Like it wasn't like, you know, just a job. Like we built a community. Like all my friends, we worked together there. We loved being there late at night and like hustling together and making things work. Like, but yeah, I knew they wanted to keep me. They said like, we want you to be here. We want you to stay. I'm like, but at the end of the day, like actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
Sometimes like you have to trust your gut. And like, we're going to have a whole other topic about trusting your gut in business because that's something that I've learned the hard way 3 times now. Sometimes it's like a new lesson every time. And then you realize I should have trusted my gut. And so even if you believe something and you're like, no, this will change, or like, no, they said this, but your gut is telling you like something is not right.
You're probably right.
Trust it. Yeah. There's so many opportunities. Like, you know, like accept that this experience brought me a lot of value. I learned a lot. I have a lot of lessons to take away. I'm so grateful for where it brought me, but like, it's time to take those lessons and go somewhere else where I can succeed and that there's no glass ceiling and I can be the best version of myself and I can grow. And I like, you want to be surrounded by people that want what's best for you and want you to succeed. And like, that's why company culture is so important and your managers are so important.
100%. Yeah. It's probably one of the most important things, that even more than like, obviously the salary and money part is important too, but feeling valued and like appreciated is such a game changer. It just makes people so much better workers.
It does. It does. Like even like every lesson you take with you, because I know like it's in my heart. Like I remember how I felt at that job. I remember it. I remember the sadness. I remember the emotions. Like because of that experience, I know I'm a good manager today and I'm a good leader because I don't want anyone to feel that way. Today, like at Globe Thrivers, I always make sure to have like one-on-ones with everyone in the company. And I ask them, how are you feeling? Are you feeling challenged? Is this something that you like? Are you still excited about it? Are there things that you don't like doing? Are there things that you do like doing? Is there an idea that you have that you want to pursue? Like always giving everyone on my team the opportunity to be challenged and follow their passion and be the best version of themselves. And like making sure that they feel comfortable because like not everybody just stops and asks like, hey, wait a minute, like, how are you doing?
Yeah. How are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. And you would never know that without going through being on the other side of it.
It's the truth. And like, I'm really grateful for my first job experience. I really enjoyed that job. Like, you remember how fun I had, like how much fun I had? I used to travel. I used to come home and be like, oh my God, that was the best trip ever. Like, I really loved that experience. It was just, you know, I had a hard time accepting.
And because I feel like another reason why you probably stuck it out for so long was because you think like, okay, what's next after this? Like, did you kind of have that feeling like of fear and like, how am I going to get something better? Am I going to get something worse? Like, how am I supposed to know?
How am I going to find people like this? Like, how am I going to be in an environment with people I enjoy working? Like, it was hard. And look, it's your first job. So for you, it's everything. It's like, you don't have anything to benchmark it against. So you don't have like, oh, well, this job, it was almost the same thing. So like, I'll be fine in the next one. Like, it's your first job, so it's hard to let go and it's hard to like part ways. But in life, you need to like have like your personal goals and understand like, did I reach my maximum potential in this position, in this company? Is there room for me to grow in this company?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, and then it's your time. And that's why a lot of companies do company evaluations. Managers sit with you at the end of maybe every half year. And they want to just see where you stand. Like, what are your career goals? What do you want to achieve? Like, is there something else you want to do? And so I don't really have an answer to that because I think that like the best thing is to just talk to other people also and like understand what else is out there, which is what I started doing towards the end of that job. I started reaching out to people on LinkedIn, talking to friends and other companies and just getting connected and interviewing at other places and seeing what my worth was and seeing what I was qualified for and seeing what I would enjoy. And that's why I always encourage people to like, just like see what you're worth. Like even if you're at a job and you're really happy and someone reaches out to you with an opportunity, take the call.
For it, yeah.
Just take the call. See what they want. See what they're offering. Like see what your worth is because it'll constantly reinforce that feeling inside of you. Like I'll be okay if they fire me tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know my worth. I know that I can find something that will make me happy and achieve my goals. And it's just like constantly reminding yourself of that, which is hard.
Yeah. No, it's so important for your confidence, especially when you're young and people around you have been in it already for years and they know that you're an easy target or they know that you might not know better.
Yeah.
So prove them wrong.
Exactly. So I'll end it here because I mean, I can talk about this for days, but
we only got to like job number two.
I know. We have a lot more job experiences to talk about. But if you guys have any questions about our first job experiences, about your first job that you're trying to get if you're in college or the first job that you're currently in and you're thinking about something else, feel free to let us know. And we'd love to answer them on the next session, on the next episode. You know, our goal is to just share the knowledge that we have while we're in the thick of it and learning ourselves, you know, today.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully you can learn from mistakes that we're making now too, which we would love to share as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope you guys had a great 40 or 30 minutes listening to this episode.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. I feel like it's like a therapy session.
Yeah, it really is. I love it. But good luck to everybody applying to college, applying to jobs, applying to internships.
We believe in you guys.
Just stay positive. Bye, guys.
Sheer and Sen out.